listen to what they're saying. Peep the game. And listen to what I'm saying. Hold us accountable for it.
I wonder who I do it for, cause I've been fucked up. But I'ma need you to listen, so shut the fuck up.
Got you, man. Got you.
That's another jewel. Rich told me to find the deals. That's what you got to do. Save your pockets, but also save your marriage. You know what I mean? At the same time. No, keep your marriage healthy.
Yes.
By saving your
on
pockets.
On a budget.
Yeah. Feed that woman.
Right.
On a budget. But not too much.
Right. Make sure. Yo, crazy, yo. I mean, is there anything else that you had, Jordan?
Oh, God.
I mean, I know.
Nah. I just want to keep riffing.
Yo, you just want to keep riffing. I thought maybe you had a question or something.
Nah, I ain't got no questions.
You ain't never got no questions, nigga. Never, ever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Yeah. Shit.
Go ahead.
No. I was about to just talk some bullshit until we found something.
I mean, you know, name something you've experienced in the past. Let's say the past. Okay. How about this? I don't know. It could be anything. Since the beginning of 2022, mm-hmm. Name something that you've experienced since the beginning of 2022 that you didn't think you was yet ready to experience, or you was ever going to experience, or you was going to witness. Something crazy that you've seen so far in 2022 or experienced. Anything?
Expecting.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't planned per se, but expected. Yes. So think about it. Since I found out that we were pregnant, I just came back from vacation, my little baby vacation.
Jeez.
Just came back for the first day at work, and I get that call around 4 o'clock. I'm closing. I get that call 4 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, shit. Not like saying, like, I don't want this to happen, but shit, this happened. Nigga, we just went out for the first time last night since we've been back.
Wow.
Pockets, bro. You know, your pockets hurt. Like, that rental was heavy. Remember, we had the big boy truck. I was trying to be like, you rich. And
I was envious.
I didn't. Look.
Came back and smacked you back in the right. Yeah.
Look, I was trying to be Mr. Big Pockets, but I didn't do it on a budget. We was just going. You know what I'm saying?
That baby dove in and said, nah, you better realize where you are.
Like, fuck. So, last night, we went to the movies. And, you know what I mean? We got food there. But ever since then, that's my experience. Just expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's been my
biggest. That one there would have taken a cake for me. You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, because it's mad early. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I told you mine. So.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing.
Okay, I'll go next.
Just expecting to be an uncle.
That works.
Dive a little deeper than that, George.
I know what you do. Been anything going on, really.
I mean, like I said, it's been early.
Pretty quiet. Yeah. It is early. I mean, it's only about mid-February.
Yeah. What about last year?
For me, I think it's more or less, you're right, it is early for 2022 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But experiences come and go. For me, I think, I don't know. I guess it's just taking a shift in my parenting of my kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a shift to the point where they're teenagers now. They're smart. They're cunning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're forever going to try to outsmart you.
You got to stay on the pivot.
Yes.
Keep your head on the swivel.
They keep me on my toes.
Yeah, man.
So, and not only that, but my son, you know, he just completed driver's ed. You know, congratulations to that young man.
Nice, nice.
He just completed driver's ed. So he's got his blue slip right now. And the blue slip will give him, you know, admission to get a permit, you know, to eventually get his license. But, you know, he hasn't really been on the up and up as far as behavior. I mean, academically, hasn't been all that great either. You know, he got booted off the wrestling team.
No.
Yeah, because of his academics.
Jeez.
So now it's like, okay.
It's serious.
Yeah.
Come on,
now you got your blue slip.
Yeah.
You want your L's. I get it.
But.
You know, but.
Man, shit ain't happening with no F's.
You got to prove yourself worthy, man. Listen, Everything ain't gonna just happen like that, you know, pop, 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 bing, bing, bing. You know what I'm saying? That's unrealistic. We gotta take baby steps because, you know, give him too much too fast, you won't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He turned 16 22nd. I think that's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Turned 16 Tuesday. And my thought was to take him to go get his permit on his 16th birthday. But he has been on the up and up. Mm-hmm. So now I'm second guessing that. You know, so I'm like, I don't know. I'd love to do it for him, but at the same time, it's a hard knock life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
We still got 6 months on his blue slip, so don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? I got 6 months to get it done.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, just having that doesn't mean that you have access to use it.
That's true.
Right, right. That's true. And that's what I want him to understand, that just because you got this blue slip doesn't mean it's a green light. It's a go, go, go.
He's just riding.
Negro, you know what I'm saying? We got to take baby steps, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you can still let him get it. Cause that would be like a good moment for his birthday to cement that, but it doesn't mean he gets to use it for anything. Cause
right,
that could be motivation.
It could be. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that's where I'm at with this. Like I gotta find ways of motivating him enough to keep him interested. And he's very interested. He's looking to sign up for two more different sports, a track and. He said he already signed up for football. That's in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got time.
So he already signed up for football. He said he wants to sign up for track. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I need him to actually see my kids. You know, I'm partially to blame. They got a false sense of reality where they think everything just comes to you. Everything's just a given where you don't have to really work for nothing. Everything is just there, always there. Because, you know, they don't know what it is to struggle. They've never been hungry. They've never had to spend an evening in a cold house. Never had to spend an evening in an extremely hot house.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know what it is to struggle. And they think they're entitled. You know, that's the issue I'm having with my kids right now. They think they're entitled to anything and everything that they can think of.
Right, yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It's up to me as a parent to lay down the reality of things. That look at here, buddy. You know, just because you seem to think we're living a great life, a decent life, doesn't mean you can get anything and everything that you want at a snap of a finger. You know, they said something to me a week ago that kind of gnawed at me a little bit. I didn't even mention this to my wife, but
exclusive. She gonna know now.
But it was something to the aspect of, you know, I mean, they was going to go visit their mother, their biological mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they go over there and everything. Their biological mother is single woman. She has a boyfriend of some sort. She's not working. I think she's on disability or I guess it would be disability. It's not Social Security because she's not old enough for Social Security. It might be Social Security. I don't know.
You want them.
But nevertheless, she don't have a traditional income as most people do. Yeah. So needless to say, her finances are limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, to make a long story short, I was taking them over there that one weekend and it was like, Dad, can you give me some money? Give me $10, you know what I mean? Get something to eat. You know, cause we stopped at Roll Farms and that's where we meet at. We meet at Roll Farms.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped at Roll Farms. They're like, can I get some money so I get something to eat? Da, 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 da. And I was like, wait a minute, you know what I mean? You're with your sister and your mom, so they're gonna take you all out to eat, this, that, and the third, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, they don't have as much money as you do, you know? Mm. I was like,
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and shame on me, I never got a chance to address that because we was like in a public setting.
Yeah.
And I did say something momentarily. I can't remember exactly what I said. I did say something to the effect of, you know, don't use that as an excuse or you know, don't say anything like that because, you know, it's not always what it seems. Something, you know what I mean? Yeah. Something vague. But it had been gnawing at me because I want to address them and let them know that despite them not having the lifestyle that we have back at home, they're still your peoples and they're still there for you and still willing to do for you, but do it in their own way.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's not about what they have. It's about what they can provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know? So I still have yet to have that talk with my kids. And it's going to happen this week because, like I said, it had been gnawing at me. I'm like...
Do you think they're old enough to, like... You don't want your kids to... The reason why they think is so lavish because you're not telling your kids the finances. You're not telling the kids the bills. You're not telling the kids
yeah.
you're what's in your pockets because, you know what I mean? None of their business. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not also, like... Oh, let me finish this thought first. It's just that... No, I guess it intertwines a little. Like, you want to make sure your kids are better off than you were.
Right, absolutely.
But, like, there's a line to where you got to let them know, and I feel like there might be an age. I'm not a parent yet.
Right.
But, like, there's an age to where, like, you got to understand, like, yo, me and your mother, you know what I mean, your stepmother, whatever, we're working our ass off.
Yeah.
And yeah. we're trying to give you... this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
To where y'all can live, you know what I mean, a decent life. We're not well off.
Right.
Like, we still, you know what I mean, we still out here, but it's like...
There's old man Bill is hanging out in my box every week.
Every week. So it's just like, do you think there's an age to where you can tell them? Like, you don't have to tell them the finances, but you got to be like, look.
You know what? I think they are there now. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, my son's about to be 16 years old.
Value of a dollar.
2 days, and my daughter's 13. They're at the age now where they can understand... They know what it is to see a struggle. You know what I mean? They've seen families coming up struggling. You know what I mean? They've seen families coming up in the dirty. Mm-hmm. So they've seen struggle. They themselves might not have struggled, but they've seen struggle.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's not up to me to really, you know what I mean, put it down and make them aware. Like, look, we work hard for everything that we have. You know what I'm saying? Nothing was just given to us. It's not me anyway. Nothing was ever given to me.
Yeah.
I had to work hard for everything that I acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just need them to understand that in a sense of, you know, bringing some reality to their thought process. Right. That, you know, yeah, food stays in the fridge and y'all get carried away with it. But don't think that this is like an endless flow. They seem to think money grow on trees.
Mm.
Sound like it's job time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. My son, you know what I'm saying? That's something myself and my wife, we've been debating on as far as him being prepared to have a job, you know, to go out there in the job market and work. You know, yeah, he's a youngin', so his work experience will be very limited.
Mm-hmm.
But just to allow him to even have that experience. We debated on that because, one, his academics wasn't there because we're not going to have him put work before academics.
Of course.
Right.
And two, behaviorally, he's been a little butt much. So, you know, it's like, you're going to be a little butt much and you're going to get butt much ways, which is no little extra cash to spend, you know, no little job to have your little extra cash to spend. That's the butt much way because you're being a butt much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we really need him to kind of come to terms with reality in that
being responsible.
Yeah, that's another thing, which is so that's one of the biggest realities I've had come 2022 that I've had to shift my thinking and dealing with these teenagers
and not babies. No, I got it. You got a shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Set that shed up.
Wait a second.
That's where
you going?
That's where he's staying. Not permanently. Listen.
All right.
Uh huh.
That's not the
extent of it. I
changed
my mom with my baby sandwich, you know?
I don't know about all
your baby ain't act up yet. I'm just saying.
All right, go ahead. Finish your thought. Shed.
Fix up the shed.
Uh-huh.
So it's a decent living space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You throw them to the wolves.
Throw them to the wolves.
This is where you living for a month. It's where you living.
Uh-huh.
You'll get three meals and a cot.
Jesus. Yo, he's all for that nigga in backyard jail.
No. It ain't gonna be that bad.
Right.
I'm just saying. Just so we can experience what hardship in life can be in a still safe place.
Mm.
He won't have the TV. He won't have the games.
No, not at all.
He like maybe he still gets the cell phone because I mean if something happens in the shed he might need to call dad like that.
Shed's on fire. Right. I don't know why.
He needs a safety net of a phone still.
He said that bitch on fire, so he had to stay out there.
Sing in his place.
Right. All right. That was my rough first idea. My other idea was a daddy son experience. Y'all go out in the woods.
Okay.
For a month.
Damn.
Oh, y'all got to survive in the woods.
That's putting me to the test, too. I don't want to experience that.
It's a struggle of survival.
Oh, yeah. Just for a month. It's going to be a struggle for me, because then they're like, this is your fault. You know, it's like,
why do I gotta
be here in these woods with these lions and tigers and bears?
No, responsible.
You got it wrong. You still get amenities.
I still get amenities.
You bring in you a nice car with you. You're going to have that, like... You can have your cell phone.
Have wifey drop off care packages.
Yeah, yeah. You'll still have cooked meals. You'll have the luxuries.
But not the internet and all that.
Right. I mean, it's still the rough.
Yeah.
But he's the one that's got to work for his stuff.
Right, to earn that. He's going to be without internet. He's going to be without running water.
He's going to have a sleeping bed, a little tent. You're going to have like the king size tent where it's
I like that thought process.
Camper,
George.
You get a camper.
Camper.
Yeah, you get the camper.
I get the camper. He has a tent.
Yeah. That's a good
one. I like that thought process. That is a good
one.
That's
not bad. That's not bad.
I like that thought process.
You got a month worth of vacations?
I know.
he can still go to work because he's still got to go to school.
You got a lot to care for him. Take it with you.
It's just when both y'all come home.
Oh,
that's where you're living for that time.
On the weekends and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
During summer vacation, we're going all in.
Yeah,
you're gonna get fucking CPS out on you because he talking in school.
Yo, my dad got me out there living hard. I ain't got no water.
I'm in a tent.
So hard knock life.
Mosquitoes.
But I'm all about the hard knock life, bro. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm all about it because I didn't have it all good and gravy growing up. Yeah, I too don't know what it is to struggle. But nevertheless, I know what it is to have hardworking people on your team, working for you day and night, and making sure you have a roof and you know, over your head and food in the fridge and heat and, you know what I'm saying, the cool air and all that.
Yeah.
My parents, you know what I'm saying? They work hard, you know what I'm saying? They foreigners that came from overseas and did what they had to do to get to where they at today and to have what they can have. So I know what it is to work hard.
Right.
You know, I just don't want my kids to grow up thinking everything is just gonna be handed to them on a platter and you know, they ain't got to really work hard for nothing.
Right.
But no, that's been, you know, something that I'm learning to balance and adjust to.
Yeah, yeah. It's time to shift your parents. Indeed, they're not babies no more.
They really ain't. There's some little niggas got me wanting to go upside the head. That's what it is. They ain't no babies.
Yeah. No doubt, man. I mean, and I guess that's a wonderful like quality from you. It's just that most people, when they're self-aware and they know what they have to do, you know what I mean, you're self-aware of what's coming, you know what I mean, like you know what you have to do, and you got your mindset. I know you, I mean the people might not know you, but I know you to enough to where like I know you're self-aware. But it's good to let people know, like, when you're self-aware, you know that you have your faults and you know you have to change.
Yeah, I gotta give them some tough love.
That's the first step.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta toughen up my love. It's just, I've been too soft on them. You know, they think life is sweet.
Yeah.
It really ain't. You know, especially my daughter, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want her growing up, you know, falling into the social media trap.
Young
girls, you know what I'm saying? It'd be shame on me, you know what I'm saying? She grew up into a social media trap and be looking for attention outdoors when she has a father at home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Shame on me. So I really have to shift my thinking. And
now do you, because, or like, are you on that double standard time? like you know, well, like to where like you're really rough on Adam because he's the quote unquote man, like he's becoming a man, to where like your daughter, you showing like love, attention, care, because you don't want her to fall into that trap. And there's two motherly figures in her life.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that they can't handle business as well, but, you know, being a father, usually that a lot of daddy issues come to, like, are you hard on her?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I've recently come to realize, and that was with my wife kind of shedding light on this, is that my daughter has gotten to the point where she seemed to think, and again, shame on me because I have not really kind of separated the two, but I think we're at the phase now where we can kind of separate the two and establish the differences in this, that, and third. But my daughter seems to think, because, you know, again, okay, let's first and foremost, again, my son is going to be 16. Mm-hmm. She's 13.
Okay.
It's a bit of an age difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm at the point now where I recently, myself as a parent, come to realize I got to let my daughter know, just because I tell Adam it's okay to do one thing, it's not okay for her to go follow through and do the same thing. Okay.
Right. I mean, you know despite what I mean? Not just the gender difference, but also the age difference.
Yeah, more so the age difference than the gender difference is comes into factor. Because, you know, it was just the other night, a couple weeks ago, you know, they had asked me, it was like 8:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a warm night, couple weeks back, you know what I'm saying? It was a decent night. It wasn't crazy cold. They're on restrictions in the house, so I wasn't allowed to be on TV, internet, this, that, and the third. So it's the next best thing. Going outside, play, whatever. Go in the garage, play. So my son had asked to go outside and ride the bike.
Yeah.
Or the hoverboard, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. And then my daughter proceeded to just follow through and just go ride along with him. Because, you know, they got bicycles, hoverboards, and that, so they can go riding together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I had, you know, my wife, you know, brought it to my attention. She was like, you know what, just because, you know, you need to let Ariana know, just because, you know what I mean, you know, you tell the son it's okay to do one thing, it's not okay for her to follow through and do the same thing, because
Permission for one is not permission for both.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I had to lay down for my daughter recently, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, it's just, I guess, I mean, it's timely, because, you know, before they were both young. So they're both able to do the same things, you know. But now it's like, okay, you know, yeah, I can allow my son to be out till 10 p.m. out in the neighborhood and running around playing this and that and whatnot. But I'm not quite all that comfortable with my daughter being out that late running around the neighborhood playing.
It's a crazy world, man. I understand.
Yeah, I'm not quite all that comfortable. She's younger and she's a female.
Right.
You know, so it's like I had to mentally myself kind of differentiate, you know what I mean, break the two.
Yeah.
And, you know, let my daughter know as well. So, you know, there's a lot of shifting going on in 2022 for me.
Like, would you consider that a double standard? I mean, I know, it's the safety of your daughter, but like...
No, I consider it, you know, this is what it takes to be, you know, parented.
I think there's enough differences that it separates it from being...
I can agree. Yeah.
Okay.
At least in the way Rich is approaching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I totally agree. Just asking, you know, future father talking. I just want to make sure if I have two or even the one, a daughter, like I want to see the limits. Like, yes, I don't really give a fuck of what anybody else has to say. That's my child. But I want to make sure I'm doing it. There's no real right way, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it to where, like, my daughter's not going to hate me because I feel like I'm being tough on her because of this world that we live in.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it is.
I think when it comes down to that, speaking as someone who has no child and no child on the way.
Right. It's okay. Speak, George, speak. Go ahead. We love to hear your thoughts.
As long as the underline is always love.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, kids growing up, especially until they reach an age where they're an adult and they, like, have to deal with adult stuff. Like, they're moved out and they're living their life as their life. It's not really until then that they realize some of those harder things that a parent put you through were not out of dislike or whatever associative reason there could be.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as, like, I think baseline, they know that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
After they reach an age where they can truly understand, they'll realize that you don't hate them.
or whatever. No, you did this stuff to protect them.
Yeah. Right.
You want to play in love.
Because, I mean, no matter what, especially, like, at your daughter's age and the next coming years.
Yeah.
All those teenage years, when you got to be hard on them.
Right.
Because kids that age don't make smart decisions.
And
that's just the nature of the game.
They know everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where probably a lot is not going to be taken well by them because they think they know.
Still learning.
And they don't want to hear it.
Hey, look, listen. You know what I mean? Bottom line, as long as you're under my roof, I'm paying these bills.
That. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
you got to abide by these rules right here within these walls. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like it, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, you can go ahead. Give it a try.
Nah, yeah.
See, you're more than welcome.
I think that's fair as a parent. And the kid's not going to see it as that. But again, as long as it's obvious it's you love them
and
they know that for a fact, undeniable, then that hard love, tough shit that you put them through, it's only going to be temporary.
Yeah.
They're probably going to say they hate you at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a part of parenting, I think.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I think if you plant the love and also give them understanding, that's like... You know, a lot of people, you know, they don't, especially nowadays, they don't whoop their children. You know what I'm saying? They don't discipline them in that like they used to back in the day.
Yeah.
So, like, but even back then, some people would just whoop their child.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Woodlands.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. So, they would tell you exactly why you're getting your ass whooped. You know exactly what's
happening.
Right.
Why,
right.
Yeah. Why is happening?
You know why. Right. Shouldn't have touched that. Yeah. So, like, I feel like a lot of people didn't tell them why, per se, or give them that talking to, that love afterwards. Like, it didn't have to be immediately after you whooped their ass, because they ain't trying to hear that.
Mm.
Or you ain't trying to hear that after you got your ass whooped. But you just got to, like, I think you have to put understanding in whatever that you do. And they might not take it. They might think you might just being an asshole or whatever, and you just hate them. But if you explain to them, they might have the time to think, maybe later in life and maybe the next day.
There's one thing.
What's up?
That I read in a book. It was a memoir. So it was like real experiences that I want to try and stick to when I've eventually become a parent.
Yeah.
And it was the guy talking about his dad and his relationship with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And how growing up, when he messed up, and it was a situation to be disciplined.
Yeah.
His father would never discipline him in the moment when he was angry.
Mm-hmm.
He would obviously correct it at the time.
Yeah.
He would take a few minutes to cool himself off. All
right,
and then
George,
he would come
preach.
Back to the child and discipline him then.
Okay.
Preach it, George. And you know what? Go ahead.
That's the way that I want to raise a child.
Yeah. Word. Because you know what? Myself, personally, I've had to kind of adjust to that mindset. Because when you try to discipline a child while you're angry and upset, it could come out all sorts of wrong ways.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
I think this was talking more physical discipline.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
it was at that time.
Right.
I think.
That's what I'm saying, too. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to lay hands on my child while I'm upset and angry. Because I'll mess around, put him in the hospital. I'll be walking out of here in handcuffs or something.
Right.
You know? So,
and like
nevertheless.
It's a different visual, like, for the child. Yeah. Like, when the parent, we've all were beat as kids. Like, when your parent is disciplining you and they're obviously angry.
They're rage.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I myself had to make that very same adjustment to where, all right, you know what? You done did what you did right now. I'm very upset. I'm like pissed off with you right now.
Go to your room.
Go to your room, and I'm gonna deal with this at another moment because I need to cool the hell down.
Right. Yeah.
If I address this right now, it's not gonna be good for neither one of us.
You go sit in your room. I'm gonna get the belt. I'm gonna calm down, and then you're gonna
get
your whooping.
I'm gonna see you
later. Yeah, then you're gonna get your whooping.
Yeah,
because that's what the dude was talking about.
Yeah.
He's like, because he was like, my dad beat me, but never in the moment when he was angry. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. No. It's fair. It's real talk. Because when you upset and angry at somebody, you don't even have people decide. It don't even have to be your child. Listen, it don't even have to be your child. Okay. Somebody done pissed you off in the streets or whatever, done got you upset, you ready to act out at that very same moment and unleash all power within you to get back at him.
Everything, you know, that fucked with you that day, maybe, or
right, everything that might have been ticking at you that day, and then you got this one final person that broke the straw that broke the camel's back, and you're ready to unleash everything on this individual.
Yeah,
you fitting to go to jail at that moment. Yeah, you know, more than like. But if you actually pause, you know what I mean, hit the timeout button, fall back and give it a thought or two, give yourself a moment to cool off.
Yeah,
you could come to it with a more level headed and deal with it in a more what's the term I'm looking for? In a more civilized manner.
Yeah.
It's like the metaphor with the Coke bottle. Oh. You have one Coke, you have another, you shake one up, you open them both.
Right, yeah.
It's just reactions coming out of that one bottle.
Yeah.
And it can't be put back.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, if you let that shaking one sit for a minute or two, it's going to be just like the other one.
Never heard that, but that's a nice metaphor. Me neither.
I like it.
Okay, George.
I like it.
Reading is cool. Nah, that's a dope-ass metaphor, and it makes a lot of sense. Because I think because of the past trauma, speaking as a black man, just past trauma that, you know, your family goes through, your mother, your father, or whatever, I you know, nothing's really therapeutic. They didn't believe in therapy. So, like, anything that just set them off, they could be angry, beat the hell out of you, and then, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you take them ass whoopings and you think about it. You feel it and you think about it. And a lot of people don't think,
you know what,
rational after that.
I ain't gonna sit here in front. All them ass whoopings I had back in the days, I can't sit here for a second and think of the things I did. I know a couple things that I did to have deserved some of those ass whoopings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know a couple. Right. That's about all I can come up with. But all these other times, I might have got corrected. I can't recall what it was for, and neither am I mad about it. Neither. And at that moment when I was getting corrected, I don't know if I knew what I was getting corrected for, but at this point in my life, it don't even matter. Like, I'm not mad at my parents for, you know what I mean, the whoopings that I received coming up, and I appreciate it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I can appreciate it, because I could have turned out so much worse.
Right.
Serious stuff. Because, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in, I didn't grow up in a prestigious neighborhood where, you know what I mean, we had, you know what I mean, gated entry and this, that, and the third.
Right.
You know? I mean, three blocks from me was what was internationally known as, not internationally.
that's got to be pretty bad.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty bad. Not international, but what was nationally known, at least on the East Coast anyway, as Crack Alley. You know, I didn't live on Crack Alley, but I was like three blocks from it where stuff was pretty crazy over there, whatever. The area. You know what I mean? You heard of, yeah. You know, so it's like I could have potentially turned out not all that good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not
easily falling into that.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm a great individual now. I'm not a saint by any means, but
you would have been a product of your environment.
Because a couple of fellas that I grew up with, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Stomped the streets with. I know two of them, they both locked up right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put no names out. You know what I mean? Yeah. SCI and Georgetown is where they at.
Right. You know where they at, but you ain't going to.
Yeah, but I could have turned out the same situations as them. And, you know, I mean, it was just a few of the fellas that I, you know, many of the guys that I romped the streets with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, I can only hope the best that most of them made it out great and they're leading a very good and productive life. But I know a few of them didn't make it out. A few of them are locked up in the bin and they serving some good time, you know?
Oh.
My own personal cousins that I grew up with in the streets in New York, you know, coming when I first landed in the U.S.
Yeah.
My own cousins, they did some serious time. You know what I'm saying? This kids that I grew up with, you know what I mean, that I played with. You know, so it's just crazy that, you know, I didn't end up doing any serious time or anything like that. And I just thank my parents for being the way that they were, you know, being as strict as they were. You know, we were not allowed to have friends over, you know, when mom and dad went home.
Yeah.
That's most households, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
But my parents were pretty strict with it. You know, even at 18 years old, I was not allowed to be out past midnight. Mm. You know, that's what eventually led me to leaving the home because I was like, you know what? I like to live.
Right.
I want to live. So, I banged out and moved out at, I think it was not too long after I turned 18, somewhere around 18, before I turned 19 probably. I moved out my parents' house. So, I've been on my own since I was like 19, call it 19 years old.
Right.
You know, but ultimately I had enough of a foundation within me to know right from wrong and to really not kind of overstep boundaries, so to say. Like, look, I'm not going to go out there and start cooking crack and selling crack or smoking crack or anything like that.
Yeah, none of the crack.
I think I just spit
nothing involving crack.
Nothing crack.
I think I just spit out some bars.
He don't even let his pants sag.
Right, right. He ain't want your crack hanging out.
None of that. Yeah, that was a no-no.
Right.
You know, the whole sagging thing. That was a no-no. So I just thank my parents for, being the way that they are. Again, that's old school parenting, Old school parenting mixed with some Haitian culture, ultimately allowed me to be who I am today and being able to have a family, a wonderful wife that I'm able to love, that loves me, and I'm not some knucklehead.
Degenerate.
Yeah. Right, you know what I'm saying? That's the term. Logo. I said knucklehead. He said
Yo, shout out to British parents,
right?
For
right.
making a swell guy, because you're awesome, dude.
Amen, amen. So yeah, man, parenting is a challenge. Yeah,
I gotta say, I think between my mom and my dad, I think really, I only got beat once, one time. Mom and dad, and it was fully deserved. There's no question about it, and thankfully. The one good thing about dad living about an hour away for all my life is he had that time to cool down on the ride down. I lived with mom growing up. Like I said, dad was only an hour away up north in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing something I shouldn't have been.
In a little knucklehead.
Yeah, at home. Yeah. And it was serious enough that dad wanted to come down and be a part of the discipline, and he beat me for it. And again, I knew the reason. I understood why it was happening, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. At least, you had enough of a good head on your shoulders to understand the reality of things. You know what I'm saying? I screwed up. I deserve this. Because my parents normally would not come at me like this.
Right.
Exactly.
This is all on me.
Yeah. Right.
Surprisingly, I don't think my dad ever whooped me. I mean, I lived with my mom. And my dad wasn't far while we were in Delaware. But then I moved to North Carolina. But when I moved to North Carolina, bro, I didn't get in too much trouble. I got one bad incident that was just almost got hit up by my mom, but I dipped it. You know what I'm saying? I was real quick. Almost got hit up. I ain't even sit up front when it happened. This is at school. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I dipped that joint. But I don't think... I haven't been whooped too much. I was a pretty, quiet kid. I was solid. You know what I mean? Good head on my shoulder. Big head on my shoulders. Okay. But,
no doubt.
Like, ain't no denying that. But, I don't think my dad ever whooped me. Not one that I can remember. Might have tagged me a couple times, but nothing too crazy.
Little upside the head.
Back in there,
upside the head.
Yeah, but it was kind of a village thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, all my aunties and uncles had the authority to give me a little talking to, a little slap back in the head, something. You know what I mean?
So, everybody had you in check.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody had authority, too. Like, my mom don't play about us, but they were... You know what I mean? They were good.
That's the thing. Growing up, my family, we didn't have an extended family. It was just my brothers and my parents, mom and dad. That was it.
Yeah.
There was no aunts and uncles and cousins and things of that nature. There was none of that.
Right.
And it was just this little tightly knit family. So my parents had to be double strict. You know what I mean? They didn't have the village, so to say, to back them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they really had to go upside their heads when they needed to. Any given moment, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Wake you up in the middle of sleep with a whooping. It's because the village was not there. So you got to catch it, you know what I'm saying? 11 p.m. whooping.
Right.
You know, after you've been asleep for an hour. It's all good.
Yeah, no doubt, man. They did a hell of a job, man. Shit, y'all want to get out of here?
Big ups to the parents.
Yeah, big ups.
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Shout out to Jocelyn, Jackson. I don't know y'all parents' name, otherwise I would shout them out.
Don't worry. Key and he's. That's all you
got to
say.
It's funny because you do. It's funny because you literally do.
Shout out to Deborah. Did a wonderful job keeping us in line.
Yeah, no doubt. Y'all made some awesome men. But look, we're going to get out of here. It was a good talk, man. It was good having you up here, bro.
Yeah, man. It was a pleasure. Sure.
It was a pleasure. We finally got you up here, and we had to give you an extended episode.
We all know the next time we'll get him back. Yeah, so. Yeah.
But it was like some good talking, so I was like, fuck it. Like, we just rocking.
Yeah, I'm all in, man. That's what's up. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming up, man. You want to send me your socials? No, I'm playing. I'm messing with you. I know you don't be on social media. No, I'm playing. Shit. George, what's the word for the day, man?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. I like that one. I like that
wisdom.
One.
I like it too.
I'm about to say, usually it take a minute. But
wisdom never dies.
I was trying to rush it. Like, nah. I had it, but I was trying to think if there was a better one.
Yeah.
But wisdom is good. That's a good one.
Yeah. It was good.
I like it. Wisdom is never dies. Wisdom is one of the best tools you can have in your arsenal.
Yeah.
Wisdom could see you to a decent life.
Sure.
An extended Indeed. Decent life.
Indeed.
Look, we appreciate you guys listening. You know where to find us if you want to join the conversation. You know where to hit us up. Tell us about the time you got your ass whooped or something like that. But shit, this has been the Lost in Translation podcast.
And thank you for getting lost with us.
Peace. All right. It's a wrap.
We lit.